You say, preacher, you don't have any idea of what someone's done to me. You don't understand the things that I have endured. You don't know the pain and the hurt that has filled my heart, and I've carried it for so long. Don't you think it's time you let it go? Unforgiveness only hurts one person, and that's you. Sometimes we need to realize we can't undo, we can't erase what's happened in our lives. You just got to cry a river, build a bridge, and get over it. Let it go. Let it go. My, ain't God good. You know, I got a saying around my place. It's called whoop, whoop, whoopee, glory. It's good to be one of God's little children. Chris had asked us about preaching this morning. I said, I don't know. These folks might not know hillbilly knees. Amen. He was speaking a while ago about his sermon last week, and got me to thinking, man, did he not preach a message last week? That thing blessed my heart. I don't know about you, but it blessed my heart. He went from generations to revolutions. Genesis to Revelation. Man, he preached it all. Remind me about a fella that went to church. He was a young guy, went to church, and the preacher preached, and he preached. Man, he just preached hot. He was sweating. He was slinging snot. Man, he was excited about what he was preaching. He preached everything he knew in one sermon. Young man sitting back of the church got up and started leaving. Preacher said, son, where are you going? He said, I'm going to get a haircut. The preacher said, well, son, why didn't you get one before you came? He said, I didn't need one. Amen. Philemon chapter 1, verse 7. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness today. Thank you for your love, your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to be in your house with your people. Lord, it's a joy to be at Cross Point Church. Lord, we don't know all these folks, but you do. And Lord, even though we don't know them, Lord, we have grown to love them and appreciate them. Lord, thank you for them loving on our children and God caring for them. But now, Lord, it's preaching time. Some have mentioned, Lord, that they were glad to hear us and wanted to hear us preach. Well, Lord, I learned a long time ago, there's no preaching in me. God, I realize today that I'm just a mailman. God, you're the one that sends the message. And Lord, without you and without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we might as well close our Bibles and go home. So, Father, I pray for that holy anointing right now. Speak to us, dear Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen, amen. Amen. Before I say too much other, I do want to say, Brother Chris mentioned Memorial Day. It is a day that we honor those who have fallen for our country, who gave their lives for our country. And we do need to remember those. Might I remind us that the wars are still taking our family. Lost my brother just a few, couple, 3 years ago to Agent Orange. And so it's fresh on our heart. But today as we look in the Bible, we find a little book that a lot of folks may not even know is there. And to be quite honest with you, it's easy to overlook. It's way back in the back of the New Testament. It's just a small book. A matter of fact, somebody said it's not really a book at all. It's more like a postcard. But the Apostle Paul, he writes this letter to a fellow by the name of Philemon. And I want to introduce you to three characters in this scripture this morning. We find, first of all, the Apostle Paul. Most of us are well acquainted with Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was one that his name wasn't Paul at first. They changed it when he got saved. Amen. God can make a difference in your life if you let him. But Saul was his name, and Saul was persecuting the church. He had letters in his hands. He was going about persecuting the church. As a matter of fact, the first time we find Saul is in the little book of Acts. There he is there at the stoning of Stephen, and the Bible says he's holding the coats of those that stoned Stephen. You might say that Saul was the cheering section. He was the one that said, throw another one. Hit him hard. Aim for the head. Let him know you're there. Kill him. That was Saul. But Saul, like you and I, we have had a road to Damascus. You say, preacher, was not as dramatic as all that. I was in a little church and God spoke to my heart and saved my soul. And I thank God for that. But Saul was on his way to Damascus. He had letters in his hands to persecute the church. He was going with the intent of putting Christians, men, women, boys, and girls, in jail just for simply believing and preaching the gospel. And Saul, on that road to Damascus, knocked down off his high horse, blinded him. God blinded him, knocked him down, saved his soul, called him to preach all at one time. Not only did he become a preacher, but he became a missionary. Not only did he become a missionary and a preacher, but he became a soul winner. And one of the people that he taught and spoke to was a fellow by the name of Philemon. Now, Philemon is in our story today, and Philemon is a very rich man. As a matter of fact, he owns slaves, and regardless of what you think about that, listen, slavery is not right. I don't care what you say, but anyway, somebody said, preacher, I disagree with that. That's all right. I don't care you being wrong. Listen, Philemon was a very rich man, and he was a Christian. You say, preacher, how is that? He's a Christian and he's a slave owner. Well, we'll let God tell us and figure that out for us, all right? But Philemon was a man that opened his home to the church of Colossae. And Paul is writing him, he's encouraging him, and you find that he's talking about here in the scripture this morning that he has opened up his home and he's commending him for that. Now he's getting ready to drop a bombshell on Philemon. We see in this story a great love. The Bible says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you love also one another. And the Bible said, I had a deacon in my church. He'd done gone on to heaven. This is one of his favorite verses. He says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Can I tell you today, church, we need to learn to love one another. We don't have to agree with one another. You've already heard, this is me. I don't mind people disagreeing with me. That's okay. You can be wrong if you want to. You know. But the thing is we've got to learn to love one another. And Paul here, he's writing to Philemon to love one another. The Bible tells us, you know, that love is very important. And then he talks about a thing called grace. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he said, charity suffereth long and is kind and envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love is very important in the Christian life. And so Paul here, he's writing to someone that is a slave owner. And that brings me to my third person here in the Bible. A fellow by the name of Onesimus. Now, pardon me. You know, if you get to know me a little bit and you hear me very much, you know that you'll find out that I have an imagination. And one of the things I like to do when I read the Bible, Brother Joe, is I like to put myself into character. I don't know if you do that when you read the Bible, but it works for me. And I put myself into character, and one of the questions I have to ask myself, now here's a fellow by the name of Onesimus. He's in the home of a Christian slave owner. And so if this Christian slave owner, he loves like Christ has told him to love, then he has a love for his servant. He has a love for Onesimus. And so I wonder in my mind, well, if Onesimus, he may have not have had it all that bad. And so it brings to me the thought, why did Onesimus run? Why did he flee? Why did he leave home? Well, I'm going to go ahead and admit to you, I don't have the Bible to back this up, but you don't have the Bible to tell me I'm wrong either. But I'm just saying that what if it happened like this? That maybe why Philemon was gone to Rome, maybe on a mission trip or maybe on a business trip or whatever it was. And while he is in Rome, Philemon, he meets a man by the name of Paul. He hears the gospel that Paul preaches. He believes what Paul preaches. He accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior. And so when he gets back home to the slaves, and here Onesimus is, he sees, because the Bible says that all things are passed away, behold, all things are become new, and he sees that in Philemon that something has changed in his life. There's been a radical change in his heart, and he sees something in Philemon that develops a hunger and a taste, something that he really, really wants. Listen, every now and again, you'll walk into someone's home. I know back when my mama was living, in South Carolina, we'd go home and back, and mama always had something on the stove. She'd have something cooking, and man, you just, the aroma. That you could smell it before you ever got in the house. The aroma made you hungry, and you wanted to taste. And I believe that's what happened maybe to Onesimus. He saw in Philemon such a radical change in his heart, a change in his life, that he saw something that he just wanted. God had made a change in Philemon's life, and Onesimus was hungry. Maybe he heard the testimony of Philemon. Maybe he heard Philemon tell how that God saved him there under the ministry of Paul. I don't know this to be true, but I believe it could have happened this way. And maybe Onesimus said, if I could just meet that fellow named Paul. And so I don't know. They say he may have stolen from Philemon, but anyway, he leaves. And he makes his way to Rome. Now in Rome, it's a lot different. There's a lot more people. It's crowded. The streets are busy. People are buzzing all around. And Onesimus is there. And he makes his way. He finds that Paul, he's in locked up. He's been incarcerated just simply for preaching the gospel, and there he is. He's in chains. He's under house arrest, and so Onesimus finds him, and Paul delivers the message, and he tells him that the gospel and what a transformation. Can I tell you, if you meet Jesus, he'll change your life. You look at the people that met Jesus along life's way, they never were the same. Can I tell you something? When I was 15 years old, at a little old country church in the hills of North Carolina, foothills there beside a busy highway, God spoke to my heart, saved my soul. Folks, I've got excited about it, and I had never got over it. I think some people might get over it. I don't have never got over it. So he met Paul. Paul introduced him to Jesus. And then Paul says, Onesimus had served him well. I don't know what he done for Paul, but I believe he was serving Paul. He was helping Paul in every way he could. And Paul knew that there had to be some kind of reconciliation between Philemon and Onesimus. And so he writes this little letter and he gives it to Onesimus. And he says, take this message back to Paul. And so Onesimus, he makes the trip back and he gets back home and he takes the letter here to Philemon and he presents the letter. And I believe that maybe, just maybe, Philemon goes ahead, he opens the letter and he begins to read the letter there in front of Onesimus. And as he begins to read that letter, he begins to look at Onesimus in a different light. Paul says, don't accept him as a slave, but as a brother. Right. Whoop, 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 whoop. Right. I'm telling you, you don't know hillbilly knees, but anyway. Glory! He said, he went away a servant. He went away a slave, but he's coming home a brother. Amen. And he gives him this letter, and he, no doubt, now I don't know. There again, my imagination works different than anybody else's I know. Hey, I think that maybe when Philemon read that letter and he looked at Onesimus and there was something in him that just changed. And man, he became excited because now, listen, there's something excited about somebody being born again. Oh, the greatest thrill is seeing people saved. And so Philemon, he looks at Onesimus. Maybe he's thinking about what Onesimus had done. And maybe he's thinking about, well, why should I accept him back? I mean, he's done me wrong. He may have stole from me. He may have taken something. But then Paul puts in there that little story. He says, by the way, if he's done anything. Now, this is Doug Mathis' translation. You won't read it in the King James or any other version. He says, if he's taken anything and he's done anything that needs to be reimbursed, you put it on my account. You put it on my account. Listen, folks, that thrills my soul. Because, listen, Paul said, whatever it is he owes you, I will make it good. I'll pay for it. It'll be fine. Listen, you just put it to my account. Can I tell you, 2,000 years ago, on a hill called Calvary, God's Son stretched out his arms. They drove the nails in his hands, in his feet. They stretched him up and put him between the heavens and the earth on an old rugged cross. And there God's Son died for you and I. He shed his precious blood. Glory! He shed his precious blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Thank God for the blood. Preacher, we don't like that slaughterhouse religion. My friend, you won't get to heaven without it. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Thank God for the blood. When you come to an altar, as I did as a 15-year-old boy, knelt down there at that altar, I don't know how it happened. I don't know how God does the transition or transaction took place. But this is all I know. As I went down to the altar, I didn't know how to pray. I wasn't raised in church. Mom and daddy didn't take me to church. I was the product of an alcoholic. My dad was an alcoholic. And listen, we didn't go to church. But a 15-year-old boy heard the gospel message went to that altar, didn't know how to pray. And you may think it's comical, and you may think, well, preacher, I don't know, it sounds too silly. Listen, I had one fellow on one side of me, another fellow on the other side of me. One was saying, oh, dear God, I didn't know how to pray. I was just crying my heart. Listen, I was shedding tears. I don't even know if I said anything or not. I just knew I was there bawling like a baby. And one fellow was over here on this side of me, and he was saying, dear God, help him to turn loose. Oh, God, help him to turn loose. Other fellow was over here saying, dear God, help him to hold on. God, help him to hold on. I didn't know what I was holding on to. I didn't know what I was turning loose of. All I know is I needed Jesus. I threw up my hands, and I surrendered. I surrendered. It's me. It's me, oh, Lord. And God saved my soul that night, 1975, May 17th. Listen, preacher, how do you remember that? I wrote it down. I'm not smart enough to remember that far back. And I like that little old song. I was there when it happened, and I reckon I ought to know. Amen. Thank God for his saving grace. And this is what happened. Jesus took my case before the Father. Lost as I could be, unworthy. And listen, the Holy Spirit that drove me to that altar, he carried a message. Dear Lord, that's Douglas down there, and he needs to be saved, and he don't know how to pray, but he needs to be saved, and he don't know all the right words, and he don't know how to communicate, but God, his heart is broken, and you can see from his heart. Aren't you thankful that God hears us even when we don't know how to pray? And God's, I believe it happened this way. Brother, I believe it happened this way. I was at that altar. The Holy Spirit took the message to God the Son. And God the Son looked over to Father. Well, he don't deserve it. He ain't ever done anything. He's always been a smart mouth, vulgar mouth. He ain't done anything to deserve to be saved. And the message could have very well came back from heaven denied. But then the Son spoke up and said, will you do it for me? Lay his sins to my account. Lay his sins to my account. That's exactly what God did. He took your sins, your sin, your sin, your sin. He took your sin and your sin. He took your sin and your sin and your sin. Listen, he took your sin and he put it on the Son. And now, glory on the record books in glory. When he opens up the book, paid in full. Woo! Glory! That's enough to make an Episcopal and get happy. Glory! Paid in full. Her sin debt. But then there was something else. Paul said, there has to be a reconciliation. And so Paul, here he encourages Philemon to take him back. And take him not as a slave, but as a brother. And so Philemon here, he opens up his heart, and there's a forgiveness. You know, I'm a hugger. I love people, but I can just see Philemon taking his brother, not a slave, but a brother, not a servant, brother, brother, and wrapping his arms around him and loving him. Listen, it's all forgiven. It's all forgotten. Glory. Maybe this morning, if we're honest, everybody here, somebody has done you wrong at some point in your life. Somebody has hurt you. You can't live life without it. People get mad at one another in church. In church, preacher, listen, people get their feelings hurt in church. My motto is to that is, preacher, I ain't going to that church. They hurt my feelings. Have you quit going to Walmart? Preacher, I ain't going to that church. Have you quit going out to eat? Listen, you'll pull in McDonald's and get you a Big Mac with that same crowd. Listen, they're in front of you, they're beside of you, they're everywhere. But I'm not going to church with them, preacher. The story is told of Corrie ten Boom. She was a Dutch Christian watchmaker. As a matter of fact, she was the very first lady licensed watchmaker ever. And Corrie ten Boom, her and her family, they had made it their goal to try to help the Jewish people that the Nazis were just having their day. And so they made it their purpose during World War II to try to help those and prevent the Holocaust. Eventually they were caught and they were put into a concentration camp. And Ravensbrück concentration camp, Corrie ten Boom and her sister were there. And they were treated very cruelly, brutal. So much so that Betsy died. Years later, Corrie ten Boom was speaking in a church. And she was speaking on that very topic. Oh Lord, it's good that God, you forgive people. At this church service, talking on forgiveness. After the service, someone was coming up to her and she recognized right away, she recognized his face. It was a very distinctive face, and a face that was etched in her mind that she never would forget. It was one of the guards that had treated her and her family so bad. And he walked up to her, and he extended his hand. And he said to her, "It's so good. It's so good that you have spoken on forgiveness. That's grace." But then he said something. He didn't even realize who she was, but he asked her, said, "Fraulein, I've come to ask you to please forgive me." She looked at his face and she later wrote these words, "I who had preached so often on the need to forgive, I kept my hand by my side, even anger rose up inside of me. Vengeful thoughts boiled through me. I saw the sin of them. Jesus Christ had died for this man. He died for this man. And she said, that's the kind of forgiveness that only God can give. But then she reached out her hand. Her words. When she reached out her hand and they joined hands, she said she felt from her shoulder down her arm and into their hands. And she said, I forgive with all of my heart. I forgive you, brother. You say, preacher, you don't have any idea of what someone's done to me. You don't understand the things that I have endured. You don't know the pain and the hurt that has filled my heart and I've carried it for so long. Don't you think it's time you let it go? Unforgiveness only hurts one person, and that's you. Sometimes we need to realize we can't undo, we can't erase what's happened in our lives. You just got to cry a river, build a bridge, and get over it. Let it go. Let it go. King Louis XII, I'm about done. King Louis, France. He rose to the throne, and there was intense pressure and things that was going on, and the circumstances weren't all that good. Many of the folks there, the nobles, they opposed him. And while he was Duke of Orleans, listen, some had even tried to have him killed. Now he's on the throne. Everybody expects revenge. Everybody expects, listen, oh no, he's going to get even now. His advisors had urged him to imprison or execute those that opposed him. You know what he did? He had a long list made up of names of those that hated him, those that wanted him killed, those that were out to get him. And he had it circulated around. And everybody, listen, when they came and the list came by, they saw their name was on the list. They thought, oh no. Surely this is the hit list. He's going to get us. Surely he's going to have us killed. He's going to have us locked up. And oh no. Because he had that same list circulated again, and this time, beside every name, he had a red cross. And as they were circulated around, he said, this is a picture of the gospel. That God doesn't just forgive us. He gives us new life. And he gives us the ability to forgive others. That's what Philemon did here. He forgave. And listen, it's like, imagine yourself. You're lying in a hospital room and you're there in a hospital bed. Your fever is going up. It's rising higher and higher. And your body is being taken over by some kind of infection and something that's eating at you. And on the surface, things might look like they're not too serious. But underneath, there's a bacteria poison is filling your bloodstream. And if something is not done and done quickly, you're going to die. The doctor comes in, not just with another bandage, but this time he has antibiotics. And they hook those antibiotics up, and that antibiotic begins to work in your system. Folks, that's what happens in our lives. We had a deep root of sin in our life, and God's the only thing that could have taken that out. Listen, I like this verse, and I'm about done. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness doesn't just mean that you're out of trouble. It means that God has restored a soul. And folks, that's what God wants to do in our relationship with others. Don't let that cancer of unforgiveness, don't let that disease eat at you. And because, folks, I'm here to tell you, I've already mentioned, the only person that hurts is you. It will destroy you, and it will rob you of your joy. It will rob you of the thrill of living life. Let it go and give it to the Father. Father God, we thank you, sir. Worship leaders are coming. Sweet Holy Spirit, I pray, speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, Brother Chris.